I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Kimberly Batson. Kimberly and co-owner Allison Frenzel are about to open Fabled, an independent bookstore and cafe, catty corner to American Bank on Franklin and 4th. She gets real about the highs and lows of making this dream a reality and shares some of the early experiences that turned her into a bibliophile. But first, let's figure out what's happening here with commercial expert Greg Gleim. Greg Gleim is our commercial real estate expert who comes in monthly to answer What's Happening Here, a segment where listeners send in questions about development in Waco. Greg, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here again.
There has been much hubbub about Shulman's Movie Bowl and Grill. It is an entertainment complex that's supposed to be part of about 635 acres there on Loop 340 and I-35. What are you hearing about that development?
You know, I think we're sitting here at, what is it, August 14th as we're recording this, and I think we're just days away from seeing tractors and ground moving over there. So I've actually just, within the last couple of days, been looking at a retail center that's proposed to come in front of that project, and we've got a couple pretty exciting tenants that have already shown interest in that. So I think here very soon after this airs, we're going to see dirt moving on I-35.
What is the timeline for a project of that scope?
You know, I don't know. I'm not up to date with that, but I think it's around 18 to 20 months is what they've projected. So at the long end, I think we'll start seeing buildings going vertical very early in 2020.
And are you getting more interest with new businesses wanting to come into this space, or are there opportunities for local businesses who might be looking to expand?
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities. I've actually got two local groups that like the project and like the excitement around the project, and it's a great anchored retail center, both for I-35 and the Shulman concept that's going in back there. So we have national interest in it, but fortunately have a couple local folks that have expressed interest as well.
We don't talk a ton about the industrial sector here on Downtown Depot, but if we're doing a good job and faithfully laying out what's happening, there's a ton of activity in industrial right now, particularly right off of Imperial Drive. What are you seeing in that sector?
Yeah, there is. We're fortunate to do a lot of work in the industrial brokerage side of town, so we get to see a lot that's coming. I'll tell you that I know that one of the questions that came in this month was about a big project or two that's being rumored around town about industrial buildings and projects coming to town, and we're getting ready to close on a, I would say, over 150,000 foot new build global company that's coming to the United States and is picking Waco for their first location. So that was a big win for us as a city. A lot of jobs that are going to be created out of that. And then in the rumor mill, there's another project right next to this, which is over off of Texas Central Parkway. That's supposed to be an even bigger project that's going to bring a lot of jobs. So I'm excited to hear what that is. That's kind of been kept under the rug, but that should be announced here within the next couple months as well.
And this has been a clarion call for the Waco Chamber, having Chris Collins on here saying, we have a robust economy in Waco. We have very low unemployment, but we need more high-paying jobs. And having real estate solutions for companies when they're looking to expand is a really important part of that.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, Chris and her team was very instrumental in getting these. It's very nice having that, the ability to bring guys in from Germany or across the country that are saying, hey, we're looking at choosing Waco. And then we've got a team of Chris Collins and Seth and their whole economic development team over there, because we do. We've got a lot to offer. There's a lot of positive about Waco, and especially in the industrial sector. And they do a good job of highlighting that in getting commitments like this, and that's why it's a big win for us.
Two things I want to ask you about in the downtown area. First, we had heard about the Civic Center that was going to be a planned office development at 4th Street and Austin. It looks like that deal is dead in the water, and that land might be going back to the city and being sent out for proposals.
Yeah, that's the latest I heard. I heard that it's not far away from going back out for another RFP or request for proposal. So we should be seeing that within the next 30, 60 days.
And on the flip side, that development died, which happens. But a development that you've been a part of is soon to open. And that is featuring our guest for this week, Kimberly Batson.
Kimberly Batson, I can't say enough good things about. We joke that's the little bookstore that could. I won't go. I don't have much time left. I won't go too in depth, but that's local business. That's good business for downtown. A lot of people have asked, why are they doing a bookstore? You can go on Amazon. And I would encourage everybody. Those are two women that put a lot of sweat, money, and time on the line to open up a concept I think is going to do very good downtown and be a major asset to downtown Waco. So I would encourage everybody to go and buy a book within the first 24 hours they're open over there.
That is a great goal for all of us here in Waco. Caleb Mullins, thank you so much for sending in your questions. And Greg Gleim, thank you for, again, coming to Downtown Depot and sharing your commercial knowledge.
Awesome. It's great to be here.
The residential real estate expert on Downtown Depot is Austin Hooper, and again this month for the residential recap, where he tells us what is happening in housing. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent, and I'm excited about the possibility of more housing, new housing, in the Waco core. So, if you remember, in 2016, the city of Waco and Baylor actually swapped tracts of land so that the city of Waco acquired what used to be Floyd Casey, the old Baylor football stadium. And the city is now sort of generating plans for what that land should be used for, and one potential use is for additional housing. On Downtown Depot, you have talked about the need for more new housing, for higher inventory of housing in Waco. It seems like redevelopment of this tract could provide some of the issues that you've laid out here.
Absolutely. This would be really exciting, something that I surely hope happens. It's just an idea at this point. But yeah, over the last, since I've been in the business since 2013, I'll say all of the new construction with a handful of exceptions has been happening on the outskirts. So China Spring has been blowing up, the 84 corridor that we've referred to, Robinson, that's where all the new construction has been happening. And as the Waco real estate market has boomed in the last few years, and there's been more of a desire to be in Waco proper, close to downtown, that's been happening in spite of the fact that there hasn't been any new development. So as you mentioned, we've talked about the low inventory issue and that leading to the rise in values and the difficulty of finding housing. I think getting some new inventory coming online in the smack dab middle of Waco would be awesome.
So for listeners trying to envision what this housing could look like, imagine something like Badger Ranch, a place where you have nice homes. These homes could start at around $250,000 and go up toward $1 million. And as we've seen in Woodway, for instance, because the property taxes are high there, they have a wonderful high school, a Midway High School, that's now just coming up for a new bond election. But people love going to Midway, and in part it's because the school is well-funded. If you had a number of expensive houses in Waco proper, that money would be put in part back into the school district, which would make the whole community safer and better.
Absolutely. As the city is now subject to a revenue cap coming out of the last Texas legislative session, adding new housing would not be subject to that cap. So in addition to just giving home buyers more options out there, it would also be adding to the tax base, which would be a big win for the city. And to your point about it being like Badger Ranch, I don't want people to automatically think that they're going to be priced out of being able to buy a home here. I think, and you make a good point, it's going to be, if it were to happen, I know the city would want it to be a well-planned-out development, visually attractive, not just with the homes themselves, but a nice, pretty neighborhood. And I think a big focus would be on having a variety of price points available in the neighborhood, so it wouldn't just be one homogenous type of product or buyer.
Austin, I'll get you out of here on this. This property, the old Floyd Casey, is just off of Valley Mills and Dutton, so it's in between Franklin and I-35. If you were showing a house here to someone, what is your greatest pitch for why this location would work for them?
Centrality, close to everything. Certainly the newness of it is something that's different in Waco proper. Most of our housing stock in Waco was built between the 30s and the 60s. So having something that's more modern, it's going to provide a completely new product that hasn't been available to prospective buyers in Waco.
Austin Hooper again this month for the Real Estate Recap. Thank you so much for coming by the studio.
Thank you.
Kimberly Batson is co-owner of Fabled Bookshop and Cafe, soon to open downtown on 4th Street. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Excited.
What is your Waco history?
Waco history. Grew up here and went to Baylor.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Midway High School. Typical Waco kid, I guess, you know, grew up here and thought, I'm gonna go, you know, see the world, but stayed and went to Baylor, and so glad that I did.
And what did you study when you were at Baylor?
I studied English literature, and one of the few souls who studied English but didn't want to be a teacher. So apparently we joke that if you major in English and don't want to be a teacher, you open a bookshop. That's your that's your life path. So,
or an ice cream shop, actually. I was an English major as well at A&M.
Hey, so. Well, there you go. I love that. So was Allison. She went to A&M. I know. There you go. So, yeah, grew up here, loved it, stayed after Baylor, and worked on a youth ministry staff in town that I really loved, and then also worked at Common Grounds and ended up managing that for a little bit, and then moved away to England for a couple years and realized how much I loved Waco and ended up finding my way back and dating Blake. And now we say we're lifers. So that's the dream anyways.
Had you been drawn to England in part because you had read novels that were set there?
For Shakespeare sure. Person? Yes, for sure. I think that was a huge part of it. I had done a lot of traveling on my own, just like backpacking around and kind of exploring there, and had been on several like mission trips there with the youth ministry that I'd worked with here. So it was just, it was really deeply rooted. And actually when I lived there, I worked for a church, but then I also was a tour guide all over Europe but was kind of based out of London. So that was really fun. For me, it was like the town other than Waco that I knew the best was London, which, yeah, was a really cool season. So
you've been involved in other entrepreneurial efforts in Waco with Common Grounds, as you mentioned. I know you're involved in some capacity with Milo and with Heritage Creamery, and there's probably dozens of other things I'm forgetting right now. What did you learn from launching those different businesses that has helped you with the rollout of Fabled?
Man, that is a deep, 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 deep lesson. I will say with Milo, the biggest thing I did for Milo was cheer them on.
Very important.
Yes. People, you know, say, wow, it's, you know, it's so amazing. I'm like, I know. I had nothing to do with it except I supported Blake. But I think what was helpful is that, you know, Milo was kind of one step ahead of us in the sense that they, you know, their business plan and their like investor recruitment and that kind of thing was kind of a season right before Fabled. And so I was really able to like watch and learn Blake and Corey kind of walk that road. And
learn what? Like, what were your takeaways?
Learn how to make a business plan, what investors want to know, who to contact to, you know, create a company valuation so that you can, you know, have something to share with investors about value and just all of that. I think, you know, going back to like Baylor days, I'd always had this dream to open a bookshop someday. And I can remember sitting like in class thinking, how do you even start a business? Like, how do you even do that? Of course, some people went to school for that and went to the Baylor Business School, but I remember thinking I wouldn't even know the first thing. I eventually married Blake and learned, like, just kind of tandem with him, like, the ins and outs of the steps you need to take. You know, yeah, like I said earlier, just flesh out a business plan and kind of create, like, is this going to be sustainable? Is this going to be – ask those questions, you know. So I think, like, a huge takeaway was just that back end of your preparation, your planning. I think also from helping, like – design Heritage Creamery and Slow Rise Slice House out in Woodway and Common Grounds Woodway. Learned so much on the like construction build outside through those projects of, you know, what you need to have first, your timeline, your what can be holdups, what can be, you know, just headaches really. And so not that we like avoided all of those with Fabled, but I think more than anything, it just helped me know what to expect. in a way that, like, you know, everything is preparation for the next step. So all the moving pieces, you know, working alongside Blake at Common Grounds for all those years and wearing every hat that I could wear at that business, like, has only been so life-giving and fruitful, and just it sowed a lot for preparing me to kind of take this step and jump into Fabled with Allison.
It seems like today more and more people are looking online to purchase goods. So I would imagine a number of our listeners are curious about the economics of an independent bookstore. So one, what does that look like when you're talking to investors about this as a business opportunity? It has to be investable. But secondly, why do you think that Waco in particular is ripe for a concept like Fabled?
Great question. And we've gotten something similar to this so often. And the answer is so fun and exciting to me because I think that, as you know, as much as I love the movie You've Got Mail, it kind of set this precedent 20 years ago that an independent bookstore can't hold up to the big box shop. And what's been fascinating in retail with the, you know, on like with Amazon coming and changing, you know, the retail dynamic for the U.S. is that independent bookstores are still thriving. And it's really baffling, actually. You have CBS News and Forbes and Harvard Business School doing studies and articles about how are bookstores not only surviving, but now thriving in this Amazon age. And it's really turning a lot of heads. And I think that, you know, Allison and I, 3 years ago, when we just first started casually talking about this idea, we wanted to make sure that this was going to work. And so we spent about 8 months researching. We talked to so many bookstore owners. We joined the American Booksellers Association and got their financial report that they submit every year and just read that thing backwards and forwards, figuring out, is Waco a good market for an independent bookstore like this? We spoke with the Small Business Association, MCC. I mean, we did our due diligence, and to our delight, it turned out that, like, Waco is a great, great spot for an independent bookstore, research-wise and obviously just community-wise. So I think in our research, we found out that the ideal clientele for a bookstore are people the ages of 50 to 70. That percentage for that demographic is high here. And then also you have, you know, the universities all around. You have Baylor, MCC, and TSCC within miles of downtown Waco. You also have just a culture here that is very locally focused and driven. So you have the farmers market, which is a block away from us, that every weekend there's thousands of people who go there. And just kind of showing that Wacoans are very attuned and attentive to supporting local establishments. And that's something that we've seen too in Heritage and Common Grounds and Slow Res and Milo, just kind of looking in on some of those from the outside, but seeing that people here really are excited to support something local. And that even comes from, like, the college students that reach out to me, they're so excited to have another local place to kind of back. And so I think that it just is a primed community for an independent bookstore. We've never had one here, so it's really exciting to be part of the first.
When I mentioned Fabled on my Waco Business News social media handles a couple months ago now, it exploded. Yeah. It was comments, likes,
that
shares.
Was so exciting.
Such affirmation for what you're doing. Yes. And just shows, yes, whether it's Fabled or it's Lost in Waco or Keep Waco Loud putting on live music events, there's an appetite for these cultural types of events in Waco.
Yes, 100%. I think that what I've come to see is that, in general, when you're buying something, you're either buying for convenience or experience, you know, and if you're buying a book for convenience, you're probably going to go online, you know. But if you are wanting the experience, then you're going to go to Fabled, because that is our heart, is to fill that gap in Waco, that the experience of reading and learning to love to read, there's not a place that really champions and fosters that here. And so I think that it's been so affirming and encouraging that Wacoans are also excited to have that place that, you know, yes, you can buy a book anywhere. You can go to Half Price Books and buy a book just the same way as you can go to the convenience store and buy a six pack there. Or you can go to Brotherwell and have the experience of going to a locally owned brewery. You know, it's really just what are people looking for in that moment. And I think that the reason why, just to kind of circle back, the reason why bookstores in general, independent bookstores, are really holding fast is that people are still experience driven, you know, and it's been, yeah, exciting to see that Waco's ready.
You're hearing from Kimberly Batson, co-owner of Fabled Bookshop and Cafe, located on 4th Street near Franklin Avenue, just to the side of Barron's Lofts. I was looking through the Instagram of Fabled, and you guys had your very first post February of 2017. So here we are, almost 2.5 years later. it's been a long time.
It has.
And I know, as someone who's trying to develop myself and, of course, busy raising a family and doing other businesses, how hard development can be. Mm-hmm. Can you pull the curtain back a little bit for our listeners and kind of walk through the highs and lows of this last 2.5 years that have gotten you where you are?
Yes. Oh, man, what a journey it's been. So the thing that sticks out the most initially is finding our location. So we announced in February 2017 that Fabled was going to be a thing. Fabled was happening. And at that point, we thought we'd actually be maybe on Austin Avenue. We knew we wanted to be downtown. That was really important for us to be just tandem to all the things that are happening there. And, you know, the building that we're in now is kind of like our ideal, like our unicorn, we like to say. And through just a miraculous series of events, it was kind of like us against this big corporate chain that wanted the space as well. And the landlord kind of had both concepts on the table. And, you know, they have this financial backing, cookie cutter, bam, 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 we'll be in, we'll do this, we'll be out. And, but he chose us. And that was, I think he loved that we were local, that we were going to lease the whole space. But, you know, that was the first, like, huge stake in the ground where, okay, this is happening. We got this space. And it truly was, like, the dream place. I know that Greg Gleim, who's on here a lot, he helped us, you know, in that whole journey. And he always called us the little bookshop that could. So it's kind of like us against the big guys. And we were so grateful that we landed that spot. And so that was September 2017 when we first signed the lease. So we had been waiting for it to have the space turned over to us from September 2017 until January 2019. That was the first time when we were actually allowed to, like, start our build out. And so those 15 months of waiting was kind of excruciating. I had a baby during that, during that time. And I think that, you know, they were doing work. They were redoing all the electrical and they were, you know, redoing the bathrooms downstairs. And there was all this work that had to be done to turn the space over. But it was so drawn out. And I think that it gave us the time to build hype, to build our business plan, to build our business structure, to really, like, focus on what are our core values going to be, to recruit investment, to, you know, hone in on our vision, our style, all the amazing, unique pieces that are going to be in the store that really are just going to be so beloved by adults and kids alike. It gave us time to do that well and to prepare for when we, you know, got the keys, essentially. And so I think just that winding road was so challenging. And just, you know, we carried this vision for so long. You know, it was like no one could see it. We can see it. It's there. And just having to believe that even though it's not right in front of you in that moment, it's going to happen. And it's gonna come. And so fast forward to January when we got to, like, put the first framing up for our event space and our children's section. And that was so monumental. And then from then, it's just been this like nonstop, you know, I've compared it to like when you're going on a roller coaster and you're climbing up and it takes so long to get to the top. But then once you get there and you cross over, it's like 90 to nothing, you know, it's just fast and furious. And so we're on the fast and furious slope now, which has been so exciting. Yeah. So I think that, you know, the past like month or so when we get to move in everything and like set the, you know, 1890 shop counter that we had purchased 2 years ago, like set it in place and get that, you know, I'm like trying not to get teary eyed whenever all these people are like moving in furniture and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is here and this is here. So I think just seeing the fulfillment of a long awaited dream has been so, I've never experienced anything like it.
And so much of it really was out of your control. It was,
totally.
Hey, we need to take this plan and resubmit it to TIF.
Yes.
We need to have different sidewalks. We have a new tenant who's coming in the second floor. So you could have spent that 15 months being grouchy, but yeah. Allison and you took that opportunity to start building followership,
yeah.
to have a newsletter that goes out and keeps people updated, to start the Fabled Fellows program,
mm-hmm.
Giving people significant discounts when they mm-hmm. join. So I applaud you guys for understanding where you were in this machine. You know, you were a small cog. You were
yes.
one of the tenants in this building, and you can put the pedal to the metal, but if no one else is pushing around you,
totally.
It's not going to move. So I think that's a good reminder for all listeners, is that mm-hmm. you can have a clarity of vision, but unless the other stakeholders are pulling in the same direction at the same
totally.
Time, it's going to be like pulling teeth, and it can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly, I'll get you out of here on this. What is your message to Waco? What do you want them to know about you? What do you want them to know about Allison? And what do you want them to know about Fabled?
You know, again, our heart behind all of this is to champion the transformative impact that reading has on an individual and a community. That's our goal and our heart. And so I think that our desire is to fill that space that Waco has needed for a communal place that will encourage readership. It will encourage literacy. And I think it will transform the community to have just that hub of new ideas, new learning, discovery. You know, we're so excited to foster that and to facilitate that for Waco. So, yeah, I think that's what I would want them to know, is just we're excited to be that haven place where you can come with family and connect, and also that place where you're kind of spurred to learn and grow.
Kimberly Batson is co-owner, along with Allison Frenzel, of the new Fabled Bookshop and Cafe, which our community here in Waco has been hungry for about 2.5 years.
And
everyone is so excited for it to open there on Franklin Avenue. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Thanks again to Kimberly Batson, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, and you for following along on this entrepreneurial journey. Find me on social media at Waco Business News to stay up to date between episodes. And of course, stream previous conversations on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or the excellent KWBU app. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.